to fellowship together in your word. We pray for listening ears and believing hearts. And we pray when all is said and done, it be to the glory and to the honor of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, talking about the subject of identification, the basic idea is that for you and I as believers today, when we talk about identification, we're talking about having become identified with the Lord Jesus Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, placing the believing sinner into a living and an inseparable union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the result, and that's 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greek, whether we be bond or free. But that baptism by the one Spirit into the one body is the basis or the mechanics of our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a couple of things about this identification. One, it's a non-experiential identification. In other words, it is not anything associated with any kind of a religious experience. No feelings. Nothing demonstrative takes place that is subject to our hearing, our seeing, our feeling, our tasting or touching. Our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ is truly one of faith, taking God at His word, and it's non-experiential. And we need to recognize that and acknowledge that that's the kind of an identification, first of all, that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we should never be looking to experience some kind of feeling in order to appreciate just what we have in Christ, just what we have as a result of being identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those truths is what we joy and rejoice in. We joy and rejoice in the Word of God. That is, we can take God at His Word. And, as Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. You know, we have something that's better than being an eyewitness. It's better than an experience. We have God's Word on it. And when we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, the result of that, and this is the other aspect about identification, the other point about identification, is that we become so identified with the Lord Jesus Christ that what's true of Him becomes true of us. Now, that's important. And it defines and describes our salvation, a complete salvation, a salvation that, again, is not based on experience or feelings, but based upon God's Word. But it results in as Paul would say it this way, you're complete in Him. Everything you need, everything you could desire, you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all as a result of you believing the gospel, and upon believing that gospel, God the Holy Spirit takes you and places you into a living and a dynamic and an inseparable union with the Lord Jesus Christ upon believing the gospel. That's the result of our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says it another way in Ephesians 5. We become bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. But everything that is true of Him becomes true of us. And that's what Romans chapter 6 begins to set forth. And the baptism here that is set forth in Romans chapter 6 is a baptism by the Spirit into the body of Christ. This has nothing to do with any water ceremony. This is a real baptism. This is not symbolism, but it is real. Beginning at verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may much more, that grace may abound? And he's responding to an idea set forth back in chapter 3 when he says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And the idea that you're giving people license or you're encouraging people, grace doesn't promote sin. Quite the contrary. Pass to a for the good of God, bring the salvation hath here to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and lust, and that we have godly and soberly this present world. Moving on, though, Paul says, shall we continue in grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? And here's where our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ begins. It begins with being, as Paul would say, I'm crucified with him. Nevertheless, I yet not I, Christ liveth in me. But our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ is to be identified with him in his death, first and foremost. Because the issue in being identified with him in his death is that he died unto sin. And that's where we get our freedom, and that's where we get our liberty, our liberation from sin. You see, in Adam all die, and the problem that we have, sin is our master in Adam. And we're under the bondage of sin in Adam. And the Lord Jesus Christ put away sin by the sacrifice of himself on Calvary's cross. That's the preaching of the cross. That's the preaching of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And as a result of that, when we believe the gospel, there's a divine work that takes place, a non-spiritual work, a work performed by God's Spirit. Takes the believing sinner, places into by Jesus Christ. It is that union, that identification with the Lord Jesus Christ that brings about our liberation, our freedom from sin, because sin put away sin by the size of him. In Ephesians 1:13, for example, in whom you are trusted, after that ye heard the word of the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believe, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now that's one of the divine works, a non-experiential work that took place upon believing the gospel. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit. The purpose of that seal will make our salvation sure. That's why we even teach, once saved, always saved, once in, never out. That's the earnest, our inheritance. It's the guarantee of eternal life. It's the seal of the Holy Spirit. But there's other divine works that takes place on believing the gospel. And in Ephesians 2 is those works. And Paul calls that being circumcised. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, there's a circumcision, the spiritual circumcision, in Colossians 2, beginning at verse 11, in whom, and it's in Christ. You see, it's the truth of our identification. In order to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, in his death, burial, resurrection, you have to be in Christ. Now, a point about in Christ. You can be Christ, prophetically, you can be in Christ according to the revelation of history. And we must always acknowledge the difference and how one is in Christ. We're talking about being in Christ according to the relation of the mystery and according to prophecy. And you be in Christ and not be in the body of Christ. But you cannot be in the body of Christ and not be in Christ. Okay? And that's an important distinction to take note of. In Christ is not automatically this is not a synonym in Scripture to mean to be in the body of Christ. But a dispensation of grace, when Paul talks about being in Christ, you are talking about being body. When you talk about being body, you're talking in Christ. You talk about being in Christ, you're about being in the body of Christ. I interpret every place as being in the body of Christ, because that's not true. But going back to Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And so when we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, a divine operation, a spiritual operation, takes place, or is reckoned, is accounted to us. And that is a circumcision made without hands. And what that circumcision results in is the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Psalms 119 and verse 25. Psalms 119, verse 25. Notice what the psalmist says here. He says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. And then he says, quicken thou me according to thy word. And then there's another place, and I'm trying to remember. Psalms 44 and verse 25. For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Now that's the significance of the being, you know, that spiritual circumcision, the necessity for that circumcision, the cutting away or breaking the connection between our soul and our flesh. When Adam sinned, there was a spiritual transformation that took place that resulted in a union between the flesh and the soul, wherein the soul became the driving force in man's life. Look at Romans. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, and when you talk about being in the flesh, again, you're talking about that spiritual transformation that took place in the life of Adam and Eve when they sinned in the garden. God said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And died they did. And they became alienated, separated from the life of God, as it were. And it says here, because of that spiritual transformation that took place in Adam, everyone that was born since that spiritual transformation that brought, you know, in Romans 5, Romans 12 says, wherefore by one man sin into the world, and by so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And that death is a spiritual death. It's alienation from the life of God. It's a separation from the life of God. You don't have the life of God. And not having the life of God, you can't do anything pleasing to God. That's why the Bible says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And hence the necessity, the need for spiritual circumcision. The cutting away of our soul from our flesh. But going back here to Romans 7 and verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, and again, to be in the flesh is simply to have your flesh to dominate who you are. It dominates. My soul is bowed down to the dust of the earth. And you know the truth of that. When you thirst, what do? You get a drink of water. When you hunger, what do? You get a morsel of food. When you're tired, what do? You rest. You see, your soul is subjugated to flesh. And thus the need for spiritual circumcision, where you no longer have to answer to the dictates and to the passions of your flesh. That's what Romans 7 is talking about here, Romans 7, verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, and that's, again, when we were in the flesh. You see, the truth of the matter, when you believe the gospel, it can no longer be said of you that you're in the flesh. You're in Christ. In Adam all die, that's to be in the flesh, but in Christ shall all be made alive. You see, you've been set free in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can no longer view yourself, or rather you should no longer view yourself as being in subjection to your flesh. There's absolutely no excuse for sin in a believer's life except not growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But apart from not growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, you've been set free and you no longer have to answer. You no longer have to subjugate yourself to the passions of your flesh. And you need to know and you need to understand that that's where the challenge and that's where the battle is going to be in your day-to-day living. In your day-to-day living, the choices are going to be between satisfying your flesh and living a life pleasing to the Lord. Paul said it well in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, where the characterization of our day, that we're going to be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And the fact of the matter is, the reason that is because, as the statement there is, we've not yet learned Christ. And you see, our position in Christ doesn't result automatically in a holy and separated life. You see, that's the difference in our being baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ and what that results in, and the baptism of the kingdom saints, as on the day of Pentecost, baptizing the apostles with the Spirit, and being baptized with the Spirit resulted in them being filled with the Spirit, resulted in their lives being led and governed by the Spirit spontaneously. Whereas in our case, we're exhorted to be filled with the Spirit. In other words, our being identified with the Lord Jesus Christ does not result. Our being set free, our spiritual circumcision, our seal and so forth, all of those things don't result in automatically in a walk that's going to be pleasing to God. But we have been put in a position. We've been put in a position where we do not have to sin. But the key to our not walking as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind is to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We have to learn Christ. We have to take in the gospel. Jumping ahead and beginning to kind of ramble here a little bit. Let me get back to Romans 7 and verse 5 again. For when we were in the flesh, notice, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. And that's why we need the spiritual circumcision. It frees us up from being servants and slaves to sin. Now, going back to Romans chapter 6, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin be any longer therein? We're dead to sin. And that is a fact. That is not symbolism. But we are, in fact, dead to sin. And we are dead to sin because of our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's why we're dead to sin. As I begin to go down further through this passage, remember what Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You understand, it is not for you and I, quote unquote, to struggle and to battle with sin in our flesh. That battle has been fought. That battle has been won. All we are to do is to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now, God has made it easy for us. You see, there's absolutely nothing for you to do but simply to acknowledge and to take your position in Christ. That's where you're going to have the victory over sin. You've heard it said, God has involved us, God has placed us in a program where we have total and complete victory over sin in our life. We're involved in a program where, in all honesty, we cannot fail. Because it is not us that is fighting the battle. The battle has been fought, and the battle has been won by the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, by Him putting away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And the key to our victory is to always see ourselves in Him as being dead to sin and alive unto God. The moment you start using such language as, well, I try. Pastor Stam had an article, a little track by the title of, If You Keep On Trying, You'll Never Succeed. And that is the truth of the matter. It is to see yourself as already dead to sin and alive unto God. Why? Because of your position in Christ. You should not be struggling with sin. If you're struggling with sin, you're not believing the gospel. Philippians 1:27 says, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now, what I'm saying to you is that our victory over sin is through the acknowledgement of our position in Christ and to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. I do not have to answer to the lusts of my flesh. I've been set free. If I should answer to the lusts of my flesh, it is either because I have not yet so learned Christ. Go to Ephesians. Let me show you what I mean when I say that. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, what Paul is saying, if you're living your life that way, as a believer, you see, you're dead to sin and alive unto God. And if you're living your life as a lost man, one of the reasons that might be true is Ephesians 4:20, but ye have not so learned Christ. Now, what that teaches you about your Christian life, again, that it is not automatic. You see, being baptized into the body of Christ, or being baptized into Christ, blesses you with all spiritual blessings that moment, that instant. And you'll never be any holier, any more righteous than you are from the day that you first believed in Christ. You'll never be any more holier. You'll never be any more justified from the day you first got saved. Now, that's something to think about. Because remember 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The moment you believe the gospel, the moment you believe Christ in Him crucified for salvation, you were made the righteousness of God that moment, that instant, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll never be any more righteous, you'll never be any more holier than you were that moment. But if you continue to live your life, if you continue to live your life as a lost man, one of the reasons for that would be you have not so learned Christ. You see, that's the goal, that's the objective for a person newly introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. For him to learn all that God has made him in Christ, and to allow the blessings of God to be the force in their life, to be that constraining force, to bring their body into subjection. As Paul says, I keep my body under. You see, how do we deal with the lusts and the passions of our flesh? By letting our conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer yourselves a, what? Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. You see, our life in this mortal flesh, our life, our living, is by the mercies of God, is by the faith of Christ. Again, Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, notice, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You understand your choice, your not sinning is a choice made in the light of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for you. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may much more abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? We thus judge that if one died for all, then we're what? All dead. That they which live should no longer live unto themselves, but live unto him which died for them and rose again. You understand? You see, not sinning is a choice on your part in the light of the gospel. You see, but ye have not so learned Christ. Ephesians 4:21 goes on to say this. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been what? Taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. That ye put off, and that's an act of the will on your part. If any man will live godly. Living godly is a choice made in the light of the gospel of Christ. It is looking at everything that God has done for you and allowing the love of God to be a constraining force in your life. For the love of Christ constraineth me, Paul writes. And so it is to be in your life. You're to think upon the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact of the matter is, looking at His love for you and I, and for the world. And let that be the thing that helps us make the right decisions when we're confronted with sin. You don't have to battle with sin. There's no struggle. There's no fighting. Why? Because the battle has already been won by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. What is there for you to do with regards to sin? Absolutely nothing. But there is a choice to be made, and that choice is to choose to allow the love of Christ for you not to answer to the, you know, again, reminding you of the psalmist, my soul is bowed down to the dust of the earth. You no longer have to answer to the passions and to the lusts of your flesh. That spiritual circumcision has set you free. And for the first time in your life, when you believe the gospel, for the first time in your life, indeed, you were made free. And again, you'll never be any more freer than the moment you believe the gospel. You'll never be any more freer than you were the moment you believe the gospel. If 20 years later, you can never be any more freer than you were than the first day you believed. You were made free. What happens is you grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you gain mastery over sin in your flesh, in your body. You remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 7? When I would do good, only evil is present with me. The good that I would do, that I do not, and that the evil that I would not, that I do. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's where we gain our freedom and deliverance from sin in our day-to-day living. We shouldn't be looking for some religious experience, but rather the fact of the matter is we are dead to sin and alive unto God, and we're to reckon it to be so. And we are to allow the love of Christ to constrain us, that we might make the choice to do right rather than wrong when we are confronted. And don't say, you know, don't fall back on this excuse. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You're not in the flesh. Remember that. You are not in the flesh. If you're in the flesh, and we're talking about the difference between being in Adam and being in Christ. If you're in the flesh, you're lost. Now, can a saved person operate like a lost man? Yes. But a saved person living like a lost man, he's not a lost man. You got to remember that. He is not in the flesh. He may look like he's a lost man, but he's not a lost man. He is not in the flesh. If he is in the flesh, he's lost. That's why Paul says, you're not in the flesh. Go back to Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Again, that's not symbolism. It's real. Because if it was symbolism, there would be no salvation. Therefore, we are buried with him by death into baptism, baptism into death, rather, that like as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And again, notice, we should walk in newness of life. It is not automatic. We have to let our conversation be that it becometh the gospel of Christ. It's a choice. But it's a choice made in the light of God commending his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we're to allow the love of Christ to be a motivating force. We're talking about grace motivation. He goes on to say, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. My point to you, that's a fact. That is a truth. God Almighty has delivered you from the power, not just from simply the penalty of sin, but he has delivered you from the power of sin. And your ability to live free from sin is a choice. Your ability to live free from sin is a choice that you make on a daily basis. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. And you can finish reading the passage. I think you got the point. You see, sin reigning in our bodies is only because we allow it to do so. The other reason we would allow sin to reign in our bodies is because we're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Either we are not learned it, or we love pleasures more than we love God. But the choice is yours.